is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome into Prop Points. Nick Whale and Jeff Erickson hanging out with you for the next hour here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. It's Dinger Friday on Prop Points, so that means we will have a whole slew of Major League Baseball home run props coming for you a little bit later in the show. We'll start things off talking a little World Cup. Just one game today, but two more quarterfinals coming our way on Saturday. We'll have Christopher Sullivan stopping by for a full preview a little bit later on. And our friend Greg Peterson, of course, from VSiN.com, handing us some baseball plays. May have to sneak in a little NBA Summer League talk as well. That started up in Las Vegas on Thursday. But before we talk some World Cup, make sure if you miss any of our shows, if you just want to re-listen, you can find Prop Points. You can find all VSiN shows on Apple, on Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcast. So just search Prop Points, search VSiN, and you will find us there. Jeff, we had France taking down Morocco yesterday. That, of course, leading into Spain-Belgium today. Winner of that game gets France in the next round. A little dicey early on for France in that game yesterday. You know, didn't score until the second half. Mbappe was stopped on a penalty kick, but did get on the board in the 60th minute. Dembele follows a few minutes later, so it ends up being a 2-0 win for France. Again, they will get the winner of Spain-Belgium. France currently the odds-on favorite to win the World Cup at plus 134. If you're the French side watching this game this afternoon, Jeff, I mean, how hard are you rooting for Belgium?
Probably pretty hard. Spain is the only team that hasn't conceded in this tournament, and they're starting to get better offensively as well. Although that game against Portugal was a little bit in the muck, but I think that's just the quality of the opponent that they were playing in that game. France was took a little while to kind of get control of that game yesterday. I think if Mbappe converts that penalty, it's a whole different game in terms of just how Morocco's style play was. Keep in mind, Morocco was really banged up. They're without their leading offensive player. They were down four players total due to injury, two before the start of the tournament, two in the tournament itself. So not the best version of Morocco that we could have seen. I think if they get that early lead, if France gets that early lead, Morocco has to try to open it up a little bit more, and they're more vulnerable to the counter, which we saw with Dembele's goal. The second one there, you know, they got him in quick succession. You know, Mbappe got banged up a couple of times in that game too. Something to watch for there. They are tending to his ankle after the game. I'm going to be watching that. You know, quick turnaround for the semis. It's now, you know, we got this now, this machine where all these injuries are starting to add up a little bit. You get less time between games than you had in group stage play. It's a little dicey. I think they're fortunate they had the first game of them instead of the second game, like where Spain's going to have one less day to recover if it is indeed Spain that beats Belgium.
Well, Spain is a heavy favorite. That game starting up at 3 p.m. Eastern. Spain minus 340 to advance to the semis. Belgium plus 265 is your price right now over at the DraftKings Sportsbook. Jeff, we are getting into the final Major League Baseball series before the All-Star break begins on Sunday night. Let's recap a little bit of action from last night. Not a whole lot to say on Brewers-Cardinals, but I do want it on the record. The Brewers did beat the St. Louis Cardinals after falling yesterday. Yankees got a big win over the Rays. That's a big series ongoing right now in the American League. So Yankees win 12-4. Kind of a lot of pressure on New York coming into this with how they had played over the last month. You know, the Rays had opened up a semi-comfortable lead in the AL East. But, you know, we talked to Ariel Epstein, I think it was back on Monday, who is a diehard Yankees fan. And even she admitted it's not feeling great. You know, once Aaron Judge is back, you know, right, maybe things settle back in for the Yankees. But you know, if you were looking at New York right now to win the AL East, is that something you would consider? Do you think the Rays have longevity the rest of the way?
Well, it's interesting. They got to the Rays' best starter, Drew Rasmussen, and they got to him pretty good. Yeah, it's been a good season for the Yankees, all things considered. I mean, they've had this stretch without Aaron Judge. Going to have some imaging over the All-Star break there, finally. You know, remember we were talking about that maybe 2 weeks ago. This is at the back end of the 4 to 6 week estimate for just even evaluating where he is. Now, if they come back and say, okay, Judge is ready to do baseball activities, he'll be back in 2 to 3 weeks, then I could feel pretty optimistic about their chances. I think without Judge, though, it's tough. I mean, they do have the pitching that other teams don't have. Eventually, they're going to get Max Fried back, and I think that'll be a big deal. I'm really curious to see what the Rays do at the trade deadline. Are they going to throw their hat in the ring? Because they have depth in their farm system. And one of the things they did, they had the Shane Boz trade during the offseason where they added five top 300 prospects from the Orioles there. Maybe not one elite prospect, but the Rays are a development machine. They find guys that are undervalued and turn them into better assets to begin with. These were already fairly highly regarded prospects. This is a deep, deep system. And I think that's going to give them the ability to trade. Now, are they going to take a big swing? Probably not. They usually don't do that sort of thing. They did in the past with Nelson Cruz, and it blew up in their face. It didn't work out. They're usually on the other side of things there where they trade away at the deadline. But this year, obviously, they're not going to do that. They need, I think, another starter. Maybe they'll add more depth in their bullpen. It's easier to trade for relievers than good starters. I know people are dreaming on Tarik Skubal going to the Rays. I'd be surprised if that happens. As far as the Yankees go, I think, you know, they might be in the Skubal hunt. If Skubal's even dealt, I mean, the Tigers, they've won five in a row. They're 4.5 games out in their division. They're still in the wild card race. Because it's the AL, everything is open. At least the Yankees know that they're going to be a playoff team.
Meanwhile, Jeff, in the National League, one of the stories of the season, the Miami Marlins remain red hot.
Oh, my gosh.
Two straight sweeps now. They take care of business 8-4 against the Mariners last night. Got to Bryce Miller early on. We faded Jansen Junk. We faded him at our own peril last night. He ended up being fine. Went 5 for the Miami Marlins, who, again, back-to-back sweeps heading into what should be an advantage series against the Guardians this weekend. So not only are the Marlins now in wild card position in the National League, but they have pulled even with the Philadelphia Phillies. They're only 3 back of the Braves.
That's right. And I just put that in our notes. It's break up the Marlins. They not only are they tied with the Phillies, not only are they a wild card team, they're a half game out of being the top wild card team in the National League right now. They're a half game behind the Cubs. They're tied with the Phillies for the second and third wild cards. I mean, they're rolling. So no more talk about trading away Sandy Alcantara. It's more like, what are they going to add at the deadline? By the way, that Jansen Junk fade, I'm a little salty about that one there because two things happened. Somehow, Junk had two throwing errors in the same inning in the second inning, only gave up one run in that process there. He had like 4 walks. He got the last 2 strikeouts to get over that strikeout prop in his 5th and last inning of that game. We were looking pretty good, and then he got a couple to put him over the top there in that last inning. So that was one of mine that I missed yesterday. I think I only had, I think it was like 2-for-5, 2-for-6, or 2-and-5, or maybe even 2-and-6. It was a rough day at prop points here for me. But that was one of those that I felt a little salty about missing.
Talk some NBA Summer League in just a moment. But folks, you want to bet smarter, then you need RotoWire. Our brand new smart money tool shows you exactly where sharp action is moving, so you're always on the right side of the line. And that's just the start. RotoWire's award-winning staff gives you rankings, projections, real-time injury updates, and data-driven insights across every sport every day. Whether you're handicapping games, crushing your fantasy leagues, or both, RotoWire has you covered. Head over to rotowire.com right now. Use the promo code VSIN, V-S-I-N. You put that in at checkout, it'll get you 15% off anything we offer. That's rotowire.com, promo code VSIN.
All right, Nick. We had Summer League ball start in Vegas yesterday there, including the big duel between A.J. Devonza and Darren Peterson. What are your takeaways there? Both, I thought, shined in this game. Both stood out. You know, Devonza barely won in this one here. What do you think?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to me, honestly, I thought I was a little bit more impressed with A.J. Devonza than I was Darren Peterson. And look, both guys had their moments. Mm-hmm. Both guys got their numbers, 27-7 for Devonza, 24-3. For Darren Peterson, but you know, we had already seen Darren Peterson play at a high level in the Utah Summer League last week. So I kind of thought he would come in maybe with a little more confidence, a little bit more settled in. But honestly, if you watched this game last night, it was Devonza who got off to the much better start. You know, I thought kind of took control from the jump. And Peterson, you know, kind of evened things up more so in the second half. But you know, focusing on Devonza, I think the total package was on display. We saw the ball handling, we saw, you know, the hesitation dribble with which he's able to just find his way by guys, get to the rim. He was drawing a ton of fouls in this game. Keep in mind, they are doing the 1-to-make-2 free throw rule at Summer League. So you see Devonza, I think he was 7-of-8 at the line, but basically double that is the number of attempts he would have had in a normal NBA game. So he was getting to the rim at will. Even when he wasn't finishing, he was drawing contact. He had an explosive dunk at the end of the first quarter, getting by a defender and took off from, like, I don't know, 8 feet from the basket. Had a couple other finishes where he's, you know, moving the ball around defenders. He's spinning the ball off the glass. I was really, really impressed by what I saw from Devonza. And, you know, defensively, I thought the Wizards actually did a really good job on Jared Peterson. A lot of the shots that he was able to make were difficult looks. You know, they were throwing doubles at him, kind of trying to turn him into more of a facilitator early in the game. But ultimately, to me, this lived up to the hype. You know, this was one of the more anticipated number one versus number two matchups that you're going to see, and both guys played really well.
Meanwhile, your best bet yesterday was the Sacramento Kings over the LA Clippers. That came through. It was -1.5. They won by 6. It was a bit of a slop fest of a game, and we saw some, you know, some crazy usage again from Darius Acuff.
Yeah, yesterday was a stern reminder of what I go through every year, where I'm so fired up for Summer League. You're getting your first look at all these rookies, and then you're reminded of the quality of basketball that we tend to see. So in this game, we had 55 fouls. We had 33 turnovers. Both teams were 17 of 57 combined from beyond the arc, and there were quite a few games that mirrored that yesterday. For Acuff, you know, it was kind of a continuation of what we saw from him in the California Summer League. He looks really comfortable. He gets to his spots. He gets his numbers. He's not necessarily going to do it efficiently, though. And I think that is probably something that's going to dog him throughout his rookie year. He got to 19 points last night, but he went 6 of 20 from the field, 3 of 9 from beyond the arc, did add 7 assists. He was, I thought, the best player on the floor. Keaton Wagler, man, it was rough. It was rough. You want to be careful not to, you know, draw wide conclusions based on one Summer League game. It ultimately doesn't matter. But as we talked about yesterday, what you're looking for from these top prospects is, do they stand out? Do they jump off the screen? I wouldn't necessarily say Keaton Wagler did. He finished with just 7 points, 1 of 7 from the field, was really, really passive throughout the night. So we'd like to see more out of Keaton Wagler as the Las Vegas Summer League rolls on. We're going to switch things over to Major League Baseball when we come back. Greg Peterson going to share his Friday MLB card with us on the other side. You're watching Prop Points.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you'll get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
Watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to Prop Points. It's Double Guest Friday. It's Dinger Friday. We're going to combine the two here a little bit here with our first guest, our good friend Greg Peterson, host of the Baseball Betting Show and Coast to Coast Hoops podcast. Follow him on Twitter at GUnit_81. Greg, happy Dinger Friday. Welcome. Thank you for joining us today.
Absolutely. Last Dinger Friday until the All-Star break and the Home Run Derby, by the way. Hopefully we get that Home Run Derby field all set, but always a pleasure, gentlemen. Thank you so much.
Of course. Let's talk a little bit about your local nine, the Milwaukee Brewers, going on the road facing the Pirates. You've got a bet on the money line in this game. What do you got for us?
Absolutely. And it's been interesting to look at this Brewers team all season long, just going death by a million cuts, but they're going to probably need a little bit more than that against Braxton Ashcraft, who's been so good this year. Right around about a 3.24 ERA, comparable fielding independent, and as much value as I've been finding on the Brewers this year, there's just one guy that hasn't been able to provide that value. That'd be Brandon Sproat, over a 5 ERA, and now for the Pirates, they're actually number one in the big leagues in terms of home run creation, 5.7 runs per game at home, going against guy in Sproat, who's been quite suspect this year. I think that that's going to be a little bit rough for the Brewers. And additionally, I think that you can get an over here because while Braxton Ashcraft has been good, Pirates bullpen has not been. We saw that on full display yesterday against the Atlanta Braves. And keep in mind, the Pirates had that really weird rain delay against the Atlanta Braves as well. That caused a little bit more bullpen usage than expected. That got Mitch Keller out of the game early. So they could get plenty of runs. Like that total of 8 to the over. I do like the Pirates here on the money line.
Talk with Greg Peterson joining us on the Progressive Guest Line. You're watching Prop Points on the Sports Betting Network. Greg, let's go over to Phillies Tigers later tonight. We do have Aaron Nola on the hill for the Philadelphia Phillies. So tread lightly, given how that has gone lately. Detroit started to pick things up, climbing their way back into the wild card picture in the American League. How are you breaking this one down?
You want two name pitchers that are not living up to their name this year, Jack Flaherty and Aaron Nola. And that's exactly what you got here. I'm willing to trust in Aaron Nola. I have faded him all season long. It has been brutal, but he's got a fielding independent that's more than a point lower than his ERA. He's still getting over 9 strikeouts per 9 innings. And the Tigers have been a little bit better with their offense recently, up right after the big leagues in terms of run creation since June. I mean, the Philadelphia Phillies have really picked it up as well. You've had these guys like Brandon Marsh and company do a little bit of a better job after it was so miserable for that infield with Trey Turner and company towards the beginning part of the season. I do think that Aaron Nola is going to be able to give you a little bit of better start than Jack Flaherty, because I just don't trust in the command of Jack Flaherty. Well over 3.5 walks per 9 innings, leaves himself very vulnerable to getting knocked out of the start early. So I took a shot here right around even money on the Phillies on the money line.
Next game on our docket, one we'll be featuring prominently in my analysis later on in the show, Nationals at the Yankees. The Nationals, they've been a source of, you know, betting joy all season long. And if you're a fan of offense, a source of joy all season long, both with their hitting and with their pitching allowing runs scored. What do you like in this game?
I do like the Nationals here because for Ryan Weathers, he has been awful in his recent last few starts. 4+ runs allowed in 5 out of his last 7. And for the New York Yankees, it's a case where this team has scored 62 total runs in their last 19 games. And that includes the 12 spot that they put up yesterday against the Rays. Like, the offense has just been non-existent for this team. And for the Nationals, you mentioned it, the offense has been a lot of fun. 5.4 runs per game. That is number one in all of baseball. And a big reason why I'm willing to get there with the Nationals is that if you look at the betting board, Carson Palmquist is listed as a starter. That is merely an opener for Zach Littell. And Littell, in his last 12 appearances for the Nationals, team is 7-5. And when he comes out of the bullpen, his ERA is cut in half. His ERA is above 6 as a regular starter, 3.03 coming out of the bullpen. This opener system has worked for the Nationals, so took them on the money line. And we were seeing between 9.5 to 10 with regards to total. Personally, I landed on a 9.5 to the over. I can't quite get there on a 10, but if you see a 9.5 pop up once again, would be willing to take that over too.
Greg, let's take a look at Royals O's. This is one where I know you have a play on the total sitting at 9.5.
Yep, I'm going to be in on the under. You've got a Royals team that, even with that massive outburst that they had a few days ago against the Mets, I think that they put up 16 runs in that game. They're still bottom four team in the league in terms of run creation away from home. And I mean, Salvador Perez, what has happened to this guy? He's got 11 home runs this year and like a 250 on base. Just been absolutely terrible for them. And Brandon Young has been a really nice find for the Orioles. Not going to give you a lot of swing and miss, only about 7 strikeouts per 9 innings, but he's not giving up the deep ball, about 0.8 home runs per 9 innings. And for Luinder Avila, who's going to be going for the Royals, it's a rough 5.05 ERA and the walks are an issue. He's giving up over 5 walks per 9 innings, but his numbers are very warped. He had that one start against the Astros where he went 2/3 of an inning and he gave up 8 runs. You take that out of the fold, it's not like he's got Cy Young Award numbers or anything like that, but it's a respectable 3.71 ERA. So I do think that he's a little bit of a better pitcher than indicated. Right now, I'm actually seeing this going up to a 10.5 in some cases as well. So even better there if you do like the under. And I'm going to be willing to take a shot here on the Orioles on the money line. Royals have just been laying your money on fire all season long.
Absolutely. Very one, maybe the most disappointing team in baseball, especially when you consider how much their win total was bet up prior to the start of the season. Winner's Circle Proxy and VSiN are giving away two incredible prize packages that will put two lucky fans into the world's biggest football contest for free. One winner will receive a $1,000 entry into Circa Survivor, and another will win a $1,000 entry into Circa Million. Both winners will also receive a full season Winner's Circle Proxy service, a VSiN studio tour, and a free month of VSiN Pro. Enter by Sunday, August 2nd, for your chance to win. Visit winnerscircleproxy.com/VSiN to enter today. That's winnerscircleproxy.com/VSiN. Greg, let's go to my Cincinnati Reds. Host with Hunter Green on the mound against Shota Imanaga, going against the Cubs. You like the Reds' money line in this one.
I do, and for Hunter Green, coming off the injury list first start of the season, not what he was looking for, giving up the 8 runs against the Orioles. I think that this is going to be much better here. There's a lot of cases where a guy just has a really rough first start coming off the injury list, and then start number 2 is where they really start to pick it up. And I think it could be that case for Green, because if you look at his minor league rehab starts, you don't want that to be an end-all be-all, but he went 14 and a third inning scoreless in those three starts, and Shota Imanaga hasn't been very great either. Like, he had that good first month and a half of the season, and then ever since the beginning of the month of May, his ERA has been well above a five. So you've got a lot of issues there. It is a Cubs lineup that has a tendency to leave a lot of men on base as well. Ian App, Alex Bregman, right there towards the top of the big leagues in terms of men stranded on base. For the Reds, getting back LA De La Cruz has been able to ignite this offense a little bit as well. So right now we're finding the Reds in that neighborhood of -105, -110, relative pick 'em game. We'll take a shot on them on the money line.
Fun series in the American League starting up tonight, Craig. That is Seattle and the Tampa Bay Rays. Rays just split a four-game set with the Yankees. Mariners, of course, were swept out of Miami. How are you playing this one?
I'm going to be taking a look at the Rays on the money line. I just don't trust in Luis Castillo. Like, you take a look at both of these pitchers, and Nick Martinez and Luis Castillo, they actually have the same 383 fielding independent, but the difference is Martinez is not beating himself. 0.9 home runs, about 1.5 walks allowed per nine innings. Castillo's home runs per nine rate is higher. He's been giving up darn near three walks per nine innings as well. And this is just stopping a good Mariners offense. They're right now a bottom five team in terms of run creation. Cal Raleigh has been one of the biggest disappointments in all of baseball thus far this season with regards to hitting. And then got a guy by the name of Junior Caminero, who I believe should win the American League Cy Young if they had the voting right now. 12 home runs in his last 16 games. Guy has been hotter than lava for this team. For the Rays, they've had some nice pickups on the scrap heap for their bullpen as well, bringing in likes of Casey Lugamina, Cam Boozer, has really been able to turn things around. So with the Rays, a respectable like -115, -120 money line, looking there, and I do like that 8 to the over as well.
The Miami Marlins, the smoking hot Miami Marlins, 6 wins in a row. They're facing a Guardians team that's without J-Ram. What do you like in this game? Sandy Alcantara versus Parker Messett. Sneaky good pitching matchup here.
It is. And 26-8 for the Marlins in their last 34 games. Like, who would have dreamed that possible on June 1st? And I'm backing on the Marlins. Right now, we're seeing them bet up a little bit to closer to -120. And I'm still willing to lay it. For Alcantara, he's down with his swing and miss stuff. Right in that neighborhood, about 6.7, 6.8 strikeouts per nine innings. But he's doing a good job being judicious with his pitch count. That allows him to go deep into games. And that takes a bullpen out of it a little bit as well. Parker Messick has been fine. 9.4 strikeouts per nine innings, a 2.80 ERA. But for the Guardians, having Jose Ramirez dealing with injury, having all these guys, Anel Martinez banged up, it's caused them to only be averaging between 3.5 to 3.6 runs per game over their last 31 games. Now, a total of 7, I think, is a little bit too low. The Miami Marlins have actually been averaging ever since June 1st, well over 5 runs per game. So I do like that 7 over, and I do like the Marlins here on the money line.
All right, real quickly on the way out, Greg, just a quick play for you in the Athletics White Sox game.
Absolutely. I'm going to be willing to take a shot here on the White Sox. Aaron Civale is going to be coming in after the opener of Jacob Lopez. And for Aaron Civale, he was on the White Sox last year. It's just not going well for him. Over a 5 ERA. And for the White Sox, I really do like what I've been seeing out of Sean Burke as well. Nearly 9 strikeouts per 9 innings. I think that the White Sox get up off the mat after a little bit of a rough start to week against Red Sox.
A's coming into that game having dropped 10 of their last 11. Greg Peterson, everybody. Find all of his work, all of his picks over at VSiN.com. We got Christopher Sullivan, former U.S. men's national team player, joining us next. World Cup talk.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to Prop Points. Jeff Erickson, Nick Whalen here from RotoWire. Joining us now on the Progressive Guest Line is Christopher Sullivan. He is a former World Cup U.S. Men's National Teams player and the studio analyst for BN Sports, formerly of Fox Sports. Follow him on Twitter at Sullivan Football, F-U-T-B-O-L. Christopher, thank you for fighting the jet lag, coming back from Qatar, you know, analyzing the World Cup from there, now back home. Thank you for joining us today.
My pleasure. Great to be with both of you.
So this is your 6th consecutive World Cup you're covering. You've played for Team USA. You bring a different perspective to it there. How would you evaluate the U.S. men's national team's performance in this year's World Cup?
Yeah, well, Mauricio Pochettino, I thought, did a really good job with the way they played coming out of the gates against Paraguay. And we saw how difficult Paraguay was later. I think that they didn't meet the moment, Paraguay, at when they played the opening match. But the U.S. showed a different side. It was more, I thought that it was more unique, exquisite in their passing. They had fluidity. They were high pressing. There was a verve and confidence, and they had goal potential and goal power, you know, moving forward, which was, you know, really nice to see. It was a breath of fresh air. Everybody was playing well. He made, you know, all the right touches. Second match followed through with the first half against the Aussies. And then the third match, they rested 10 players. And, you know, Pulisic had been injured. He played a little bit in the second half there. Turkey got that result, but the result wasn't so important. People were concerned with losing momentum. And then huge disappointment in the last match against Belgium. Give Rudy Garcia credit, because he changed up the formula and the composition of the Belgium team. He took a few of their stars, Kevin De Bruyne and Ndoku, and Lukaku didn't start. And he played some younger boys that were cutting the veins and really wanted to make a mark. And I think they won across the board comprehensively in every area of the game. So really disappointing if you're an American football fan and you see the way that we went out. And there, I can't remember a time where we played where we didn't even really have the grit, the energy, the fight, you know. And that's what I think that was so heartbreaking to see. It was just, I guess, apparently you can have a bad day, and that's what happened. But it was a frustrating way to go off for the U.S.
So especially given the way they lost that game, Christopher, of course, you know, what followed was not only a ton of criticism being lobbed at Pulisic, but, you know, just kind of U.S. soccer in general. It felt like kind of a reminder that, OK, we have a lot more work to do maybe than we thought we did heading into that game. But yeah, how much progress is really being made? You know, how optimistic should we be looking ahead all the way to 2030? Obviously, when you played in the 90s, we've come a long way since then. But what needs to change for Team USA to raise that overall talent level?
Great question. Well, when I played, there were two. I mean, first of all, there were a lot of young players coming out of college that went on to have great careers. Tab Ramos, John Harkes, Marcelo Balboa, you know, you can go on and on, Hugo Perez. But only myself and Peter Vermes were the only two players at that time playing in first division European teams. Now we have multiple American players that are playing in Champions League. So, I mean, if you just look at that alone, you could see that there's good quality and the whole world has come. They look in different markets. Obviously, you've seen 9 of 10 teams in the African conference had qualified to the next round. And so you see the strength of the African players that have gone to Europe, and you see the South American players, they've always been there, the Eastern European countries over years. And then now the big clubs have started to look in the U.S. because we are multicultural here. You know, we have so many different makeup of players from this country. So the talent is here, but there's certain, you know, it would be a whole different show to talk about this, but because I coach, the age of 14 to 19, you know, and you have the college players as well, to be able to make the jump to high-level professional is a big jump. And I think that we're closing that gap. You know, MLS has done a pretty good job starting to export younger players. But it's not one thing, you know, you hear all the stuff of pay-to-play. And I agree, you know, every country, Brazil, Germany, France, they have their method of pay-to-play, but they also have free academies. And I think that we need that as well. So we're tapping into all the markets. But there definitely has been growth in the U.S. But to get it right on the highest stage, it's not only the U.S. Germany went out. So they're doing a whole reboot again. In Germany, you know the history and pedigree of their football. And look at Bayern Munich this year. You had half of the team was Bayern Munich players as well.
Yeah, and that's three straight cups for Germany that were disappointing, too. So, you know, bringing in Klopp, they're doing a lot of different things there. Should be really interesting to see their reboot. Let's move to today's game, Belgium versus Spain. You're going to be doing a show previewing the game before it. It's out here at SoFi near me. So looking forward to seeing that. Excuse me, Los Angeles Stadium. Got to get that right. But really looking forward to seeing this game. Spain hasn't conceded yet. I feel like they've kind of felt their way into the tournament, obviously dealing with some big injuries up front. What do you see in this game?
Yeah, I think Luis de la Fuente has done an amazing job, and he's one of those coaches like the coach of Morocco, Wahabi, who had worked with the younger generation and brought them through. So he has a good blend. It's not too old of a team. They have freshness, and he's not afraid to look in clubs like Real Sociedad and not take players from Real Madrid. So I think that he's pulled a pretty good team. You know, they've had injuries coming into the tournament and players that were tired, mainly Lamine Yamal. So he's playing himself into form. Nico Williams hasn't been available. So they didn't have that double winger threat as well, which kind of revolutionized. It brought back a dying breed of having wingers in the game. And we're seeing more teams bring that back instead of being more robotic. So I think Spain has been growing in the competition and getting better and better. They struggle a little bit with physicality, even though, you know, you have Dani Olmo, you have Rodri and Pedri in the midfield, and you have the wingers and Orizaba up top. They haven't conceded, you know. So I think the betting angle that I would, in fact, that I bet on today would be under 2.5. Would take under 2.5. I think it's about 110 to 120, minus 110, 120. So I think that it could be a low-scoring game because they haven't conceded a bill. However, Belgium scored 12, you know, at this point. They do quite well. They've only had 4 first-half goals in their last 6. And so I think that this could be under 2.5. That's a good bet. And then I'd take Spain on the money line to win. And I would take Spain minus one goal, minus 105, I believe it is, somewhere there and thereabouts. I think Spain is going to win this. And Spain's going to meet France. Belgium, what we saw in the last match is because they integrated the right players into the midfield that weren't the old generation, the golden generation that 2 World Cups ago were considered the golden generation. So I think that Rudy Garcia will stay with that lineup because they haven't not played that well in maybe 6 months. We haven't seen Belgium play that well. The other thing is that I would say about Belgium is they could, when you look at the hydration breaks or the halftime, the intermission, they're a team that in game could be an interesting bet. You know, they can introduce 2 or 3 players. Remember the game that they were down 2 goals and they came back and chased and scored 3 late. So they do have that capability. But I think that Spain is so professional in managing the possession of the game and facilitating the movement of the ball. They do that as well as anyone. They don't quite have the high-octane, creative attacking that you see with France for Didier Deschamps, but I think Spain is right there.
So maybe a lower-scoring game today, Christopher, but if we look ahead to tomorrow, we get 2 games, including England-Norway, and I know you think right. We see some scoring in that one.
Yeah, I think so, because Norway they've had goals. They've conceded in every match that they've played. And they were somewhat, I mean, Nyland came up huge against Brazil. He was phenomenal. I mean, in every sense of the word. And obviously Holland is hot right now. But not only that, when you look at Nusa is a winger similar to Yamal. He's a little bit more, when you look at the vein of Portuguese, like Nani used to be that type of player. He's got that special ability to not only create, set players up, but he can score himself. So, and then I think Oscar Bob will feature in this match as well. England is the favorite, and it's a hard one to pick because Brazil was a heavy favorite against Norway, and I knew Norway was going to win that match. And something inside tells me, even though England is galvanized from that result that they got in Mexico, which was incredible, Jude Bellingham having an incredible performance, Harry Kane. I think the midfield with Odegaard and Berg, that they could probably play toe-to-toe with him. The only thing that I worry about with Odegaard, he's kind of like Michael Laudrup-esque in that sense, but he doesn't move those vertical, you know, linear passes that he splits, those incisive passes. He controls the flow like he does with Arsenal. Although he plays above his ability when he plays for Norway. So I kind of give, you know, it's plus 300 for Norway to win rather than taking that risk because England certainly is the favorite here. The draw is also tempting in this one, but I think I would take the over because I think that you know, you have Kane, Bellingham, you have Saka, you have several players that can come in. Rashford, who might be introduced late into the match. amongst the other players in Norway that can score. So I think that this will definitely be over 2.5. It's not.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back into Prop Points. Nick Whalen and Jeff Erickson hanging out with you. We'll have some baseball plays in just a moment to round out the show, but we are nearing the end of round two of the Scottish Open. Jordan Smith currently tied atop the leaderboard with Tom Kim and little-known golfer Rory McIlroy. Those three at 9-under. Matt Fitzpatrick, Minwoo Lee, Chris Goddard, all at 8-under. Nikolai Van Dellingshausen, Joost Luiten, Robert McIntyre and Victor Perez all at 7-under. It's a big names either on the cut line or already missing the cut. Victor Hovland sitting at 2-under. Projected cut is 2-under. Hovland with a couple more holes to play. Scottie Scheffler has missed the cut. Brooks Koepka has missed the cut, as has Shane Lowry and Xander Schauffele for that matter. So an interesting weekend shaping up at the Scottish Open. Rory, your heavy favorite to win outright, just dipped under 2-1, plus 196 is your price right now over at the DraftKings Sportsbook. Just a reminder, folks, there's no shortage of betting opportunities this summer, from daily Major League Baseball, World Cup soccer, to the countdown to football season. And that's why now is the perfect time to lock in VSiN's football special for just $175. That'll get you full VSiN Pro access through the Super Bowl, including our all-new 2026-27 NFL betting guide to help you attack futures, win totals, division races, and the upcoming season. Plus, you get daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app, and coverage of every major sport all year long. And remember, the earlier you sign up, the more value you get. Head over to vsin.com/subscribe. Do it right now. That's vsin.com/subscribe. Lock in that football special, just $175. And make sure you get your hands on that NFL betting guide, packed with everything you need to prepare for the NFL season. Let's head back to the Major League Baseball slate, Jeff. Final group of series before the All-Star break. We will return to that Brewers-Pirates game in Pittsburgh. It's Brandon Sproat on one side. It's Braxton Ashcraft on the other. Greg Peterson already told us he is on the Pittsburgh Pirates, Jeff. What say you?
I am looking at a little bit at a couple of things here in this game. I'm gonna back a Pirate. I'm not so sure about the team because there are bullpen issues here. The Brewers obviously do all the little things right. They narrow that margin between the starting pitcher gap, which is a big gap. Sproat versus Ashcraft. Ashcraft has had a fine season. Last 11 starts, 3.37 ERA. Yeah, weather could be an issue in this one here, obviously. Chance of like rain, lower temperature at 76 degrees. Had that weird rain delay yesterday. I'm focusing on Brandon Sproat, though. Sproat has allowed 14 homers in 79 innings. That's a pretty high rate there. So we're going to try to find our Pirate prop for Dinger Friday. I'm just going to focus on Brian Reynolds here. He's been on fire lately. Three homers in the last week, over at 1,100 OPS. And just a great season all around. So I'm going to take the Brian Reynolds over on 1.5 hits plus runs plus RBI at minus 113 at DraftKings. And because it's Dinger Friday, let's go with Reynolds plus 650 over at BetMGM. I think you can make a case for him. You can make a case for Esmerlin Valdez, who's got a lot of real power as well. And Sproat has allowed a lot of homers against righties. So you don't have to be locked into a lefty on this one here.
It is Dinger Friday here on Prop Points. So Jeff will give his, what do you call it, normal bet for each game. And then we are contractually requiring you, Jeff, to add a Dinger prop. We do that each and every Friday throughout the Major League Baseball season. Let's head over to Phillies Tigers in Detroit. Aaron Nola, Jack Flaherty is your pitching matchup.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. This is the first of two games where I can't wait to get a Dinger prop here. Yeah, let's go on this one here. Hey, picking on Aaron Nola, I mean, that seems like a smart thing to do. He's been a little less terrible on the road than he's been at home. Still, 5.20 ERA, 1.29 whip, much lower K rate on the road. Detroit's a strikeout team, is a pretty decent strikeout team, but still, against Nola, I don't want to take the Nola strikeout prop. Instead, I'm going to look at the Flaherty side of things because the Phillies also are a strikeout team as well. 24.6% K percentage over the last 30. Going to go Jack Flaherty, who's been much better lately, over on the 5.5 strikeouts. I understand the command concerns with him. things could go sideways with him sometimes. But also, Aaron Nola, he's allowed 19 homers on this season. We got to get a Tiger Dinger prop here. We're going Riley Green, plus 355 over at DraftKings.
I have a feeling this might be the other game you're excited about, Jeff. Yankees Nationals,
yes, sir,
in Washington. Ryan Weathers on one side. We're going to have Carson Palmquist opening for Zach Littell on the other. Both Weathers and Littell more than happy to serve up homers this year.
Yeah, Weathers has allowed 16 homers, none of his last three starts, but not that he's pitching well in those last three starts. Two of those starts have been disasters. Five out of the last seven have been disasters over that stretch for Ryan Weathers. 6.17 ERA, 1.46 whip, eight homers. He's allowed 13 homers by right-handed hitters, 10 homers at home in Yankee Stadium. So even though Yankee Stadium generally favors left-handed hitters, it hasn't worked that way necessarily for Ryan Weathers. Meanwhile, Zach Littell, annual. He should be pitching in the home run derby. He's such a dinger prop guy. He's allowed 22 homers this season, 36 last year. He's allowed nine on the road. He's merely bad, not horrific on the road, kind of like Aaron Nola, 415, 124 on the ratios there. You know I love the total homers in a game prop, especially when it comes to Nationals. We're going back to that particular well, over 2.5 at minus 140. And because it's Dinger Friday and because it's such a great matchup, I got two Dinger Friday props for this one. The red hot Ben Rice plus 320 at FanDuel. I think he should be closer to the Caminero range where he's in the mid to low 200s now. And I'm going Curtis Meade plus 450 at BetMGM.
You bring up a really interesting point, Jeff. I love this idea. Like, whichever pitcher has given up the most home runs at the All-Star break should be forced to pitch the home run derby and pitch it like a normal game.
That would be amazing. It'd be humiliating and amazing all at the same time.
All right, let's move on to Cubs Reds in Cincinnati. Shohei Imanaga, Hunter Green, as we talked about with Greg earlier in the show, second start of the year for Hunter Green. Got beat up by the O's in his debut back on July 4th. That was seven hits, eight earned runs, four walks. Did have seven strikeouts in 3 1/3. So how does he respond here?
You know, he's got a really good track record against the current Cubs hitters, except for Seiya Suzuki, who's done pretty well against Hunter Green. It's his second start back. I question how deep into the game he'll work. I question that a little bit. He gave up eight earned runs, obviously, in 3 1/3 last time out. It's probably not the same version just yet. But all this attention to Hunter Green kind of just hides the fact that the Reds are still a huge strikeout team. 2 days ago, they broke out, had those five homers. They're back to their usual K-ing ways yesterday. We had some fun yesterday with the total strikeouts in a game prop, where the line was 19.5 and it went to 21. So I'm going to focus on strikeouts again. It's been pretty reliable over the time. And Shota Imanaga's K percentage is pretty strong. He struck out 10 Reds last time he faced him. His prop is only 5.5 today. It's minus 110 at Circa. I know it's on the road, and I know his recent form hasn't been as strong as lately, but I'm going to take that over strikeout prop of over 5.5. For Dinger Friday, Seiya Suzuki, plus 355 at Circa. He's had three homers against Hunter Green so far.
Get you a couple more plays before we leave you with our best bets of the night. Guardians Marlins. We have talked extensively about how hot this Marlins team is, Jeff. Can they continue it tonight with Alcantara on the hill?
Yeah. Keep in mind, the Marlins are a half game away from being the top wild card in the National League. No longer a trade candidate, especially Sandy Alcantara on the mound. We were talking about his trade value earlier on this season. Now they're looking to add. It's kind of wild. He's won seven in a row. 2.98 ERA, 1.14 whip, three homers allowed. Parker Messick has only allowed one homer in the last 30. We're going to go for our Dinger Friday. We're just going to take the under 1.5 total homers in the game, even money at DraftKings. And for the other bet, Guardians under 3.5 in their team total. The Jose Ramirez-less Guardians have had trouble scoring lately. Minus 110 at DraftKings.
Okay, not a true dinger prop. I would argue it's kind of the opposite of the Dinger Friday spirit, but we'll allow it. You know, some sort of home run prop is required for each and every game. Let's go to Mariners Rays in Tampa. Luis Castillo, Nick Martinez is your pitching matchup. What do we got for Dinger Friday?
Just going to channel my Janet from the good place. Fun fact, Nick Martinez is the Rays' highest paid player. Dinger Friday, Yandy Diaz, plus 700 at Hard Rock for a home run against Luis Castillo, fighting for a rotation spot.
All right. Interesting. We very well may be of the same mind on that one when we get to our best bets. Let's get one more from you, Jeff. What do you got for A's White Sox?
Munetaka Murakami coming off the IL, plus 300 at Bet Rivers, and I like the White Sox run line, -1.5. Let me just sneak in Teoscar Hernandez, plus 450 home run for Dinger Friday against Eduardo Reyes, Dodgers Diamondbacks.
It's time for our best bets of the night as we take you into the weekend. Money moves, of course, coming up next year on VSiN. Jeff, your best bet. Where are we going?
We go Yankees Nationals, 2.5 total homers and the Ben Rice home run dinger prop plus 320 at FanDuel.
All right. I promise I did not just pull this from your notes, Jeff. Yandy Diaz, anytime homer tonight against the Mariners, plus 610 is the price I found at DraftKings. And look, we got a whole slew of summer league games. Got to give you something there. Give me the Lakers money line tonight against the OKC Thunder. That is minus 112 over at FanDuel. That's going to wrap the week here on Prop Points. We'll be back with you on Monday. Money Moves, Stormy, JVT, Mike Paul, Will Hill, all coming up next here on the Sports Betting Network.